In the name of the Father, and the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, now and ever, unto the age of all ages, amen. So today we're talking about an interesting passion that we need to fight against, and that is the passion of the love of amusement. You can also use the word entertainment instead of amusement. And what do you think is one of the top amusement devices that exist in our world? iPhones. Has it made it up there? I'm sure it has. What else? Definitely, iPhones have made everything just so close to us. But you know that the number one entertaining or entertainment device that still exists until today is the TV. The TV, as I read, the TV is that device that allow you to be entertained in your own living room by people you would not allow in your home. It is so interesting. But I had to think about this love of amusement. Since this concept of being entertained is so familiar to all of us, I mean, we all get entertained to one level or the other. It's very common. We love to go to parks, maybe the amusement parks of Disney or Six Flags. But as I hear from Abuna, those two are very far from you. We may all enjoy a gathering around a nice movie with popcorn. What's wrong with that? What are you trying to tell us? Because depending on what you have to say, we might just continue to listen or ex-nay on everything because that's too far. Many youth, they love online games. How many of you know of a youth who plays online games? How then can we speak about these things as passions that we must be warned about, concerned with, and try and stop? I just want to put some initial points, things that we would like to consider when we talk about this matter. The first thing, and they're all three verses. The first one comes from Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 18. And it reads, as you can see on the screen, "Then I realized that it is good and proper for a man to eat and drink, and to find satisfaction in his toilsome labor under the sun during the few days of life God has given him, for this is his lot." So what we gather from this verse to start is principle number one. So I'm putting before you some principles that can guide our discussion, our talk around love of amusement. The first principle is all people have a clear and undoubted right to every healthy and innocent enjoyment. God is not holding enjoyment back. He's not saying, you guys, you Christians, you should live in misery. He's not saying that. That's the first principle. Second one. This is from 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 3. "For you have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry." So St. Peter is speaking to people who have come into the faith. So these words can be for us as well. So he's telling us the second principle. And the second principle that I hope you and I can really understand and digest so well is that there is a new lifestyle that is replacing an old one once you know Christ. You know, the biggest temptation that a Christian faces is joining God and no God together, is joining the teachings of Christ and the teachings that are anti-Christ together. You cannot do that. So the second principle is there is a new lifestyle. There's something, because we know Christ, that has begun in our lives. And the third is from Proverbs 14:13. Says, laughter can conceal a heavy heart. When the laughter ends, the grief remains. And this is the third principle. Amusement that acts as a distraction will keep the underlying problem ongoing. You know, as we will talk, you'll find that amusement can be used to distract someone. Someone who is really beat and life isn't going too well and the way they see things and people is very negative and they just run for amusement. But for what reason? Just to escape reality. Once the amusement is over, the grief remains. Nothing has changed. First, what makes it hard for some of us to even consider the subject of fighting the love of amusement or entertainment? It's because of culture. Let's agree on one thing here. Our culture is a culture of entertainment and amusement, don't you think? It is a culture that says, let's just entertain you. And anything that is not entertaining is not worth your time. That's very dangerous. And every one of us here on earth, we're born into a distinct culture. And that culture trains us. It trains us to view things in certain ways and hold specific opinions about things. And so from our earliest days in life, we have been trained to think, to talk, act, and believe in a certain way, even if it doesn't make sense. You've seen people who have come recently from, let's say, Egypt or another country. What do they face when they come here? Something called culture shock. And I'll tell you one thing. When you go there, you're going to face also a culture shock. Even when it doesn't make sense, to you it doesn't make sense, but it has formed you. The culture you're in has formed your mind, even if it doesn't make sense. I was telling Abuna some of the things that really don't make sense to me, and I'll share them with you. Why does your nose run and your feet smell? Should be the other way around. Why do they call them apartments when they're so stuck together? Why is the word abbreviation so long? Right? It doesn't make sense. Well, there's so many things like that, but we accept them. Have you ever thought of abbreviation being a long word? But there are things that just happen to be, and we accept them. And one of these things is this idea of you need to be entertained all the time. You need to be amused all the time. And the danger is that these ideologies have entered into the church. Right? You got to amuse me. You have to entertain me. If you want me to come, if you want my kids to come, you got to keep what? Entertaining me. So what you see there, this is what makes up a culture. And one of the things that make up a culture on the outside, as you could see, are symbols. But at the heart of the culture is the worldview, the way you look at things. So the culture in the United States and in America in general has really given us this worldview that entertainment is essential. I am bored. Don't you hear that from a lot of people? I'm bored. I'm not coming to the service today. Why? It's boring. Do you know why you come to church? Is it worship or is it entertainment? Primarily, it is first and foremost, it is an act of worship. So, entertainment is a serious business in the U.S. I don't know if you knew this, but I read that entertainment is consumers' biggest expenditure after housing, food, and healthcare. So it's among the top four where you spend a lot of money. And so it seems that our culture is warped with an ideology that has deified amusement and entertainment. It has made entertainment a god. It has made entertainment something sacred. And here are some interesting quotes from the culture. Walt Disney says, "I would rather entertain and hope that people learned something than educate people and hope they were entertained." The focus of Walt Disney is what? Entertain. I'm not against Walt Disney. I just visited them not too long ago. They're fine people. But that is quite interesting. Here is a philosophy. I'd rather entertain you. And if you learn something, that's fine. But I'd rather do that than to educate you and hope that you were entertained. Here's another one. Freddie Mercury, British musician, he said, "I am just a musical prostitute, my dear." Musical prostitute, that's it. You know, all that I care about is the music, is the entertainment business. Tony Robbins, some of you may have heard and read to Tony Robbins. He's an American motivational speaker and a financial analyst and advisor and all that. And he said, "We aren't in an information age. We are in an entertainment age." So the first thing that we learn about the love of amusement, it is quite dangerous because it is a new form of paganism. People worship their amusement. People worship their entertainment. Watch your daughter or your son as they're watching TV and you just pass in front of them. Or if for any reason, as you're passing in front of them, you got some pain in your stomach and you stopped for an extra second, it's the end of the world. Sons and daughters are willing to lose their relationship or to have a dent in their relationship with their parents over an iPad, over an iPhone, over an iPod, over a movie. Quite dangerous. The love of amusement has therefore become the love of a new god. And we read in Exodus, the Lord said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. You shall have no other gods before me." Deuteronomy and Exodus. And here is another god before God. Another god, small g, before God, capital G. Our entertainment. When we have this love for entertainment, sometimes entertainment comes first. Let me give you, just describe a situation before you, like an illustration. If we were to run a survey amongst kids, just imagine with me, and ask them what is the first thing they do on a Saturday morning when they wake up from their sleep, what do you think would be their answer? They watch TV. As a Christian family, we must have a problem with this, don't we? This must be problematic. I mean, we've learned that the first thing that we do in the morning is what? Is pray, not go to the washroom, pray. Right? Like the first thing is what? Is we talk to God. And yet generations, a generation after another, the first thing that they would do in the morning, you can struggle with them to wake up on a Sunday morning to come to Mass, but Saturday they're up before you watching their cartoons. Are cartoons evil? No. But the way we have come to love them and the way we have put them before God, that is indeed a wrong and evil deed. Let's look at a biblical figure that has something to do with amusement. When I kept thinking, what biblical figure is closely connected to entertainment? I thought of King Solomon. King Solomon said, and I want to read this to you. He said, "I said to myself, come now, I will test you with pleasure to find out what is good. But that also proved to be meaningless. Laughter, I said, is madness. And what does pleasure accomplish?" And then he goes and says, "I denied myself nothing my eyes desired. I refused my heart no pleasure. Here is a man who did not deny himself any pleasure. Everything that his eyes would look upon, he would get. He undertook great projects, built houses, bought slaves, and he had it all made for him. What does he say at the end? He said, everything was meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun. Therefore, love of amusement is vanity. To be so hooked on entertainment that it becomes such an essential part in your life, that's vanity. Meaningless, as the wise Solomon said. More also, a derailing from our main goal and a change in our heavenward direction. You hear the priest in the liturgy near the end says something, and if he said it in Arabic, the whole congregation usually moves with him. You know that part where it says, lead us into the way, lead us into the kingdom, right? When we begin to love amusement and entertainment above God, that's a derailing of our journey, within our journey to heaven. Also, the love of amusement makes one think, it's like an indicator of some needs that are unmet. Why are people really running after amusement? Well, someone said maybe because they have some needs and those needs are not met. And you all may have read about Maslow's hierarchy of needs, where at the bottom you have your basic needs, such as safety, security, and so on, and at the top, self-fulfillment or actualization, just reaching your potential. And because of the corruption that we know is in this world, people have unmet needs. People want to be loved. But instead of being loved, they're met with hatred. People at home, they want to be heard. But instead of being heard, they may be put down or not allowed to speak. People need some meaningful fellowship. But instead of having these type of fellowship, they feel lonely. So what ends up happening? They begin to search for some meaning somewhere else. There is someone who loves amusement because he needs to be excited. His life is dull. He's not fulfilled. He goes to work. She comes back from work. It's the same old every day. And you'd hear people say, my only relaxing time is when I just sit on my couch and hold the dear remote control and press this beautiful red button, and this amazing entertainment comes up on the screen. And with so many different channels that one has, this is just my own time. Well, that person needs to realize that is not a remedy. This is a distraction. This is quite dangerous, because once this is done, your life remains the same. It would have been better to work on making your life more meaningful. It almost becomes to some people, amusement becomes to some people like a drug that we are after. But then amusement becomes dangerous because it is also selfish. I want. Can you give me something for my own pleasure? It's me. I want it for me. This is my time. Not to say that you shouldn't have your own time. It's just what we do with that, my time, that becomes important. And like I said, amusement can become very selfish. And when we're so selfish, we're not listening. We're not thinking. All what we think about is me. It's like this little son, this young boy, at night, he gave his dad some hard time going to bed, and then he went to bed. And I don't know if this happens to you or not, but after you shut the lights and you leave, your son goes, Dad, yes? He said, can you get me a cup of water? Does this happen to you? Yeah. And the dad said, listen, you've been acting up. I don't think you're thirsty. You just ate. You just drank. just go to bed. And then you start walking to your bed, and then your son calls again, Dad, says, yes, I am thirsty. Can you get me a cup of water? You say, no, I said no. Kids, you know, they try. Huh? And then the third time, Dad, I'm thirsty. And Dad is just under the, you know, the cover. He's about to relax and sleep. And Dad goes to him and said, listen, if you call me again, I will come and discipline you. Then the son says, Dad, when you come to discipline me, can you get me a cup of water? Yeah, this is someone who's just so focused on what? On the self. What I want. It doesn't matter what's happening to Dad. It doesn't matter what's happening to... It's what I want. And love of amusement reaches this point where it's just me. I want. Those who have a passion for entertainment, it's about me, myself, and I. The desire to be pampered. It's an act of receiving rather than giving. It's a sense of entitlement. I am entitled to entertainment. I deserve to be amused, especially after a long day of hard work. I deserve to be amused. Also, the love of amusement is dangerous because it will very quickly turn into a habit and an addiction. It's very short-lived pleasure. And to this, I'd like to speak a little bit about gaming addiction or cyber addiction. It is really interesting when you see a one-year-old infant going like this with his finger. Have you seen this? Where does this come from and this? It's the iPhone and the iPad. 1 year old going like this. It didn't exist with us when we were younger, when iPhone wasn't there, but now it's there. And it's so interesting how they advertise games now. One of the positive things that they would say to sell a game is, this game is addictive. You will love this game. It's addictive. It's as if addiction all of a sudden has become a good thing. According to the American Medical Association, up to 90% of American youths play video games, and as many as 15% of them, more than 5 million children, are addicted. Addiction, children? Do you see something weird here? As reported by one of the authors who wrote about gaming addiction, the average time spent in these virtual worlds is 20 or more hours per week. Some studies have reported gaming addicts play time in the range of 10, 15, and 20 hours straight in a single gaming session every single day. 10, 15, 20 straight hours per day. I'm sure you've heard of people, adults even, who got hooked to cyber stuff and they put on adult diapers so they don't have to go to the washroom. Serious addiction. We're talking about a serious addiction. All these people, they started by saying, oh, this is nice. I need the amusement. This is a tough day for me. I'm so depressed and down. I'm very bored. Let me just try. And after a trial, after another, they can't get rid of it. It has been reported that in some gaming addicts, the use of online world is a psychological escape for many people who cannot have a face-to-face interaction. So they go behind an avatar. And behind the avatar, no one knows you, so you're free to do whatever you want to do. And it becomes a sort of an artificial escape pod, social escape pod for people who are not able to interact properly, but behind that avatar, they can do all these wild things, only to find that gaming addiction is one of the causes of depression among teens. So, let's summarize then. The love of amusement and the love of entertainment is the result of a secular culture of entertainment. But the danger of it is it has entered our own minds, and we've become so conditioned that we've got to be entertained in sermons, we've got to be entertained in Sunday school, we've got to be entertained when we study theology. You've got to entertain me. It's like a Walt Disney motto. I'd rather entertain you and maybe you can learn something rather than teach you something and maybe you'll get entertained. Also, the love of amusement is a new form of paganism, a love of a new god, meaningless and a form of vanity, as King Solomon said, but also an indicator of a life with feeble purposes and unmet needs, an indicator of a selfish life, and it is habit-forming and addictive. So then how to fight it? Let me close with a few words. Almost every problem, if you look at the opposite side of it, you'll find the solution. The first thing we need to change is this: the mind, the worldview, the way we think the truth. What is the truth? You recall yesterday we talked about what we think is normal is actually not normal. And we need to correct what we think or what our culture has taught us to be normal. We need to correct it with the thought of Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's what makes you and I a Christian, is we follow the mind of Christ as our standard, not the mind of our culture. If our culture is in line with Christ's teachings, great. But if it isn't, then we correct our thoughts and the ideologies that are passed on to our children through and with the Word of God. So the first thing is endorsing a Christian culture and a worldview rather than a secular one. And the Bible teaches us to change our minds with the mind of Christ. Secondly, we need to prioritize God. First, God. Love the Lord your God from all your heart. And this practically means that your actions will put God first before anything else. The church has so many people tonight, but what if there was a very important game that is playing? What's the most important? Super Bowl, let's say. Would the church be as filled? Or we have an excuse, well, we came yesterday, we're going to come tomorrow. It's as if this coming to church is changing from a relationship to a task. And we can put it aside when we want and bring it to the forefront when we want. We need to be challenged with these things. We need to challenge the way we prioritize God, that it's not just something we say, but it's something we actually do. The third thing is, maybe we need to look at the root problem. Maybe I am escaping to entertainment because something isn't going too well in my life. Maybe I need to check what's happening inside. Maybe I need to find out if I have a vision for my life. What's my purpose here? Like, what am I doing here? Do I have a vision? Do I have clear goals? Or it's just the way it is day after another? Maybe my life needs to become more meaningful. And that's a choice that I make. It's a choice that I make to make it more meaningful. And one that has vision, a person who has a vision, he knows or she knows the purpose of their existence. And that becomes very important. So if you want to fight the love of amusement, remember those 3 points. What's your worldview? What's your thoughts around entertainment and amusement? Can you correct the worldview that you have with the thoughts of Christ? Secondly, prioritizing God, putting Him first, practically, and thirdly, having some sort of godly vision, a purpose in life, and some clear goals that you'd like to attain. Glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.